I bought my first house when I was 24. I got one big money. I just went and bought a house in Lekki.
Not the flashiest car.
I had, I just bought a new car last year. I had the same car for 10 years until the car was crying. Because I never thought of cars as a store of wealth. You have to store wealth so that in time of trouble, you don't land on the floor. Look, don't make your decision based on an influencer. In 10 years, you find out that person was broke. Don't do it. Nothing breaks my heart more than somebody who you deeply respect sending you a text to ask you for money. You know, you see somebody living in a house. Maybe they even named the street after the person.
Yeah.
In 5 years later, the person is having an issue with their landlord. The owner of the building. They do not make a decision for your life based on followers that will not be relevant to your life in 5 years. Bear it for 5 years. Don't worry, even if they laugh at you today, they will not laugh at you in 5 years. Economy is down, cost of living is up, and perception is now up. So many young people cannot take downfall anymore. But they can't afford that Uber constantly. But people can't just live in Agbado Ijaiye. They have to rent this one room where they can't afford. Social pressure is a very powerful thing, but it's a problem. Never buy a thing that if you lose it, you cannot quickly replace it. I mean, you cannot afford it. iPhones and all these phones are one of the biggest scourges on people's finances. People's monies are tied down in constant running costs. Money doesn't buy happiness.
We hear that a lot.
Yes, it is true. Money buys some things. Money buys business class flights, houses, clothes. I think when people hear money doesn't buy happiness, they hear don't have money. No. It might buy you a fine husband or a fine wife, but it won't buy you love. It might get your kids in good schools, but it won't buy you their respect. It might buy you a business class flight, but you might be crying in it. Don't expect it to bring you peace. Don't expect it to bring you joy. Don't expect it to bring you love. Can you start learning how to be joyful now so that you don't start learning it when you have money and you feel empty? They told you that money will make you happy. You make money. They told you that travel will make you happy. Then you travel a lot. They tell you that, okay, no, it's because you're in economy. Then you are now in business class. They tell you that, no, it's because you need reputation. You are now speaking with presidents across the world. You're working with presidents. You're doing all of that. The stage you are in now in your life, learn to enjoy your life. Learn to call your mother. Learn to love your wife. Learn to talk to your children. People like hustling. Oh, let me move my dollar. Dollar's about to go up. It's about to go down. It's about to go left. It's about to go right. Oh, let me move from crypto to porto. People cannot tell you what they did because it cannot be told. And people are always looking for secrets. When I tell people this, they'll be like, Baba, you no one tell us the truth. Tell us what thing you do. There's a lot of things that cause poverty, but one of the ways to come out of poverty is to have investments. If you eat everything that comes to you, you cannot have enough to grow. You cannot be waiting on time and chance. Life has fundamentals and they don't change. You sow in the ground, you reap. You eat, you go to the toilet. It has been the same as it was before, so it is today.
So it will be.
So it will be.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the KK Show, Key to Keys. Now, today, I'm joined by a man who has shaped culture, amplified voices, and built a platform that feels like home. He's a storyteller, a healer, and a builder, not just of homes, but of hearts. Now, his stories have made people find themselves. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome with me today, Jide Onwo.
But first and foremost, I need to get whoever wrote that script and poach the person from you. And if it is you, we are going together. That was a beautiful intro.
Thank you.
Oh my goodness, that was so good. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Yeah. Good to have you on our podcast.
Yeah, it's very good to be here. Like I told you, I'm a fan of the podcast. And I told you with receipts.
Yes, you did.
So it's very good to be here.
Yeah, you've told stories, so many stories. Mm. Today, we're turning the tables.
Yes, yes, yes.
We are interviewing you.
Yes, yes, yes.
So tell us, who is Chude off camera?
Chude off camera is actually... Chude off camera is actually very... actually very boring.
I don't think so.
I'm actually very boring. So, my previous life, I used to be incredibly busy with, and I'm still busy with work, but I've designed my work to fit my life because I like spending time by myself. I like spending time at home. I like spending time with my thoughts. So I've designed my work. I've chosen work that enables that. And I've designed my work in a way to fit that. So my typical days is mostly spent by myself. Mostly spent by myself, on and off the phone, you know. So when I wake up in the morning, or less like a day like today when I have to come do something. But if you notice, that's part of why I'd often fix interviews after 12. Because when I wake up in the morning, I don't go to my phone until 12.
Oh, so what do you do?
I'm praying, meditating, watching TV, sleeping. But I'm spending time with myself first thing in the morning.
I think before I give myself to the world, I have to first give myself to myself.
When did you start this?
2018 is mostly when I started.
What brought you there?
2016, I've shared the story before. 2016, I went through a I was diagnosed with clinical depression. So all the things I learned about coming out of it, it taught me some of the bad habits that I'd been doing that were affecting my emotions. And one of those bad habits was not taking care of yourself. It's not listening to your voice, listening to your thoughts. You don't have the space to breathe. You know, so they're fixing this media tour for me for this, my April 27th show. And I told them no. I told my assistant no. So this morning I walked around my estate for an hour. And not inside the estate because I'm greeting people everywhere. But outside the estate, you know, with the firewood and this, you know, the greens and all of that. Because I learned that in the middle of this busy week, I have to make time for myself. Yesterday they fixed something in the night. I'm like, no, I'm spending that time in prayer, you know, in long prayer, you know, and not even performance prayer. It's not as if I'm working hard in the prayer, but I just want to sit with my spirit. So 2016 and that episode taught me how to prioritize my own well-being, my own spirit. And those are practices I've been doing since then.
Wow. You are intentional about self.
Yes.
You know, we talk about this a lot.
Yes, but we don't often...
Yeah, we don't. You know, listening to you right now, I'm like, okay, I think I need to, because, you know, we hear these things. People say, I do this, I do that, my personal space. But really, how often do we do that?
Yeah,
but hearing you,
yeah.
I mean, how was that transition?
It was actually very easy because I had suffered in dealing with depression. And I'd also done damage to my body. So I was telling you that I have back pain. And it's because of overwork and not taking care of yourself. And in any case, you've succeeded, you've achieved all the goals you want to achieve for yourself, and it doesn't make you feel the happiness you thought you were going to feel, then you begin to think about this life a bit differently. You know, they told you that money will make you happy. They told you all these things. Then you make money. They told you that travel will make you happy. Then you travel a lot. They tell you that, okay, no, it's because you're in economy. Then you are now in business class. They tell you that, no, it's because you need reputation. You are now speaking with presidents across the world. You're working with presidents. You're doing all of that. We are still not happy. Should we try something else? So I think I learned the hard way to prioritize not just myself, but my spirit. So sometimes people think self-care is, I go to the spa, I go to the spa, I do all those things. But those are not the main things.
Yes.
Because this thing I just mentioned this morning, I didn't spend any money on it. I just walked around my estate, said hello to the gatesman, greeted my people, spent time with the security, there's a waterfront in front of my street, went in front of that. So it's not all those expensive things. When we say, well, I want to take care of myself, I'm going to Hawaii. No.
Yes. I think people... Misconstrue that.
Yes or no? I tell people that I spend, the beaches I even like in Lagos are the free beaches. I spend a lot of time by the beach. And the free beaches, there must be free beaches that people have abandoned. You know now in your work, they just, should be like, how can Lagos be wasting this? Like, who is building something here? Well, thank God they're not building it there, because I can be alone in those places. So it is because I learned the hard way. I learned the consequences of not taking care of my mind and my heart. Yeah, I had to find a better way.
So to advise someone out there who probably is you years ago, what would you say?
So you see, the difference that people always lie, so money doesn't buy happiness.
We hear that a lot.
Yes, it is true. Okay. It's not just true because people say it's true, because there's research behind it. One of the most important pieces of research is the Harvard University grants study. 74 years. They've tracked the same people for 74 years, or 76 now. Find out those who were happy and those who are not, and what choices they made in their lives. Neuroscientists have put electric nodes in people's head to monitor how their minds are working. Rich people, poor people. So money doesn't buy happiness, but money buys some things. Money buys business class flights. Money buys houses. Money buys clothes. So the idea is not don't have money. I think when people hear money doesn't buy happiness, they hear don't have money. No. This studio was not built without money.
That's, you know, true.
The life I'm living is powered by money.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not that. It's know what money is going to do for you. It might buy you a fine husband or a fine wife, but it won't buy you love.
Okay.
It might get your kids in good schools, but it won't buy you their respect. It might buy you a business class flight, but you might be crying in it. So know what money is good for. Don't expect it to bring you emotions. Don't expect it to bring you peace. Don't expect it to bring you joy. Don't expect it to bring you love. Don't expect it to bring you trust. That's the difference. So people say, I'm one of the few in my industry, if not the only in my specific industry, that has handed over a CEO to a non-family member CEO. And people often ask me, how can you trust him that he's not? I say, I trust him. You know, that's that one. Money can't buy trust. There are business people that cannot leave their business. They are panicking. They are calling. You've stolen my money. This is, I say, I trust him. I've built the trust. So money doesn't buy that. Because if money bought that, many business people that are suffering in their business would have left it. Money buys them things, but it cannot buy them trust. You know, one of the beautiful things that happened to me, this is my birthday, I just turned 40 this year, is that my ex-staff organized a birthday party for me, raised millions. All I did was show up.
Wow.
From across over 12 countries. And these are big, these are people, you know, there was Timiso Emmanuel, there was
Eniolua
there, there was, you know, the VP of, the Director of Communication at Meta, Vice President of the CEO of that. There's people whose lives I've touched. Money doesn't buy that. And when they are talking, they don't talk about, oh, today dashed me money. They talked about, oh, he said this to me. He put me in his house when I didn't have a home. You know, so those are the things that money cannot buy. You can do big money in Lagos and dash people money, and these soon police people will come and arrest you if the FCC reaches your house. So people should know what money does. So nobody say money is not good. So, and I tell people, I tell younger people especially, I'm like, can you start learning how to be joyful now so that you don't start learning it when you have money and you feel empty? Start learning it now. So you can do both at the same time, make money and learn it. I tell people, this is why I also talk about it, because I'm still going to make a lot of money. We have not started. And when I get there, I want people to see the journey. You know, see that, no, the things I'm saying now, I started saying them 5 years ago or 10 years ago, etc. So you can see that there is a different way of doing this life. You know, so that's what I would say to the people, that the stage you are in now in your life, learn to enjoy your life. Learn to call your mother. Learn to love your wife. Learn to talk to your children. You know, and if you cannot visit their schools, learn to call them on the phone and apologize. You know, you have a partner, you say sorry to the partner. Something happened to me yesterday. My partner sent me a message. I didn't agree that I did anything wrong. Go. I said, I'm sorry. Actually, I said, I'm very sorry. Just let there be peace. Because you cannot come home and be battling your wife, your children, your girlfriend. You are the one suffering. You establish your power at the expense of your peace of mind. You know, so you can do it. You can create. And if you're not, and you don't have to be perfect to do that. You have to be able to earn the forgiveness of the people you love. You know, so if you do something wrong to them, you apologize. They understand that you didn't do it from a place of wickedness. So that's my advice to somebody who is like me, that don't start building joy when it's too late. It's more complex when you are wealthy. It's more complex when you are powerful. It's more complex when you are influential. People don't tell you the truth anymore. You know, people gossip more. You know, people hide things from you. Better start learning how to be joyful when you don't have much. Wow. Sorry, went in deep so early.
Wow. Yeah. Oh my God. I'm having goosebumps. Like, you've just hit me everywhere. Yeah. Because the truth is, these are not conversations we have.
No,
they are not. Social media isn't talking about this. Mm-hmm. We're seeing the wrong things. Even those that are going through issues are coming out and painting the wrong picture.
It's really tragic.
What happiness and joy should feel like. Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, everybody is following a particular pattern. Mm. And to hear this, you know, it's you're breaking every stereotype, whatever has been built. And I mean, I can tell you that this just few minutes, so many strongholds.
I'm glad.
Prayer and fasting.
Yes, I'm glad.
Have just been broken.
I'm glad.
And I think this should be taught in school.
It should be. It should.
You spoke about your event. Can you elaborate more?
Right. So April 27, I am doing With You Day Live. So I'm taking my show on a big stage. It's a talk. We're calling it is Africa's biggest talk concert. You know, so in a hall where you see our live conversation happen, and I have the biggest celebrities from the country coming. I have Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie. This is her first major event since her book sold out across the world. I'm having Funke Akindele, who is number one actor in the region. Mm-hmm. I'm having Bovi Uboma. I'm having Files, the bad guy. And I'm having Pastor Jerry Eze, you know, live on stage being interviewed, you know. And I have a panel of Vicky James, Teddy Makanaki, Kiki Taoma, Hawa Lawal, Moses Bliss. I don't forget any of them. Ruth Kadiri, you know, all coming together to talk about their minds. This conversation we just had, I want to have it real life. So it's not that we cut, we rehearsed, we practice. No, you see them talk about the deep issues of their lives and how they've managed to survive and to thrive and where they failed, why they failed, what they are doing better, why they've succeeded live on stage. Never been done before, live interview.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
I think this is phenomenal, really.
Thank you.
Because people need to hear the truth behind social media.
That's it.
And most people don't want to expose the skeletons in the cupboard.
Yes.
Everybody wants to paint themselves as great. And I'm not saying you should come out and, you know, wash your dirty linen.
Yes.
You know, but we have the younger generation out there. They don't know what really is.
Yes, I completely agree. I'm part of my long-term vision is to get the time in Nigeria. So in America and in certain countries, in Bhutan and some other countries, they're incorporating this into curriculums, emotional intelligence, emotional balance. I really think it is. The problem is capitalism is a very interesting. I'm a capitalist. I love capitalism. But capitalism makes us think that material and economic progress is the only progress that matters. And so anything that is not leading children to do that is disregarded. So it has taken a depression crisis across the world for people to now say, maybe we should teach people emotional skills. But it shouldn't have gotten here. But it's good. Now that it's here, what can we do with it? So I completely agree with you because we didn't come to this life, even to work, we didn't come to this life to work. We came to this life to enjoy it. Mm-hmm. And the book of Ecclesiastes, it's, you know, to make merry, to eat, to enjoy, you know. And by those make merry, it's not to spend money. It's because the man that says also says some things are vanity.
Yeah.
You know, so it's to make merry, to enjoy life, to finish working in the morning and not spend 3 hours in traffic, you know, to be able to spend time with your family, to be able to have a cup of coffee, you know. So yes, we do need to begin to teach young people how to enjoy the life that they were created to enjoy.
Enjoy.
Yeah, I agree.
So haven't interviewed so many people, right? Has anyone spoken about their real estate journey? What are those stories you've heard that could, you know, scare you or, you know, or make you want to actually invest?
Well, you know, the funny thing, let me tell you, you know, I told you this and I need to say it on air, that the person, so I moved to the island, I've always lived on the mainland and I used to boast with it. So I grew up in Suwilere, then my parents moved to Odogunyo in Ikorodu, and I came back to Suwilere, then I moved to Shomolu, and I came back to Suwilere. Suwilere is my spot. The person that made me move to the island is you. And you remember, so I was watching your videos. I'm an elephant. I was watching your videos. I think I put a comment. And you were just showing Lekki and we were showing Via. And I just thought, so Lekki looked so beautiful from her eyes. So I called you up one day.
Yes, you did.
I said I wanted to buy a property. Yes. And then you took me. And I love, and I'm sad that I couldn't buy that place because that place was, it was beautiful, stunning. But the person was, you know. And it's solely because of you that I'm not living on the island. And that is the power of your work. Mm. That's the power. That's what true influencing is now. Yeah. To influence people to make a lifestyle decision. So, you know, your work is important. You need to know. I know you know that because people are always calling you to do things. But literally, when I thought of it, I'm like, I made a life decision. A nine-figure life decision because of a lady I watched on YouTube. Amazing. It was great to meet you that time.
Same here.
So I've had a number of people talk about, so one of them is the person you had on your show, Alibaba. You know, Alibaba, who has been a mentor of mine for a long time. But Alibaba talked to me about, you know, the investment decisions he made and building wealth from very early so that even when things, when you are no longer the fad, you know, you don't have to hustle.
Yeah.
Because you already have a balance of wealth. And it's people like that that taught me very early to start investing in property. I tell people, I bought my first house when I was 24. You know, like I got one big money. I just went and bought a house in Lekki.
not the flashiest car.
Not the flashiest car. I just bought a new car last year. I had the same car for 10 years.
What?
I had the same car for 10 years. 10 years or 10 and a half. Until the car was crying. Because I never thought of cars as a store of wealth.
Hmm.
It's not a store of wealth now. The car is to enjoy life. You know, the car is to... So for me, it's... Yes, but the first thing I bought was a house. I bought a house in Lagos, a house in Abuja, you know, went on the house I inherited from my grandfather. So there are all kinds of things. I've always known that you have to store wealth so that in time of trouble, you don't land on the floor.
Hmm.
So people like Alibaba, because I started working very early, and so I listened to a lot of older people share their wisdom. I saw a lot of people who were blown yesterday, couldn't afford money. Nothing breaks my heart more than somebody who you deeply respect, sending you a text to ask you for money. I wish I could just solve their problems so I don't have to see them in that way. And sometimes you're talking about people who have seen money.
Money.
this is not exaggeration. It breaks my heart. So I learned very early in my life, you know, to invest in property. And you know, sometimes people always say there are other better investments. I'm like, invest in the one you understand first. You know, and the thing about real estate is real estate is very simple to understand. You get
it's
the property.
Real.
It's real. So after building, I always tell people, the first investment, get property. Then the rest, you can do equity, you can do bonds, but get the one that you can see, touch, and feel first. So Alibaba talks about that on my show. Many people, when they talk about real estate, they don't talk about it specifically, but you know that that's what they're talking about because of the way my show is, my show is about emotions.
Mm-hmm.
They talk about, oh, I built this house or I did this. And then we are quickly talking about the experience that they had inside of it. But Alibaba, we spent a lot of time.
Yes.
You know, really, he's very excited by property.
He is.
Property
he
and cars. If you go to Alibaba's garage.
I know, right?
He's a chaotic something. Be like, is this not a truck?
I was with him last week and I was like, oh my God.
Yes. Like, what is this doing? A yellow? And like, so, and I learned that from him. So he can both invest on the back end and still enjoy life. That's
life.
Like, it's not either or. It's not, now this joke, it's not, I like, you know, I tell people, look, I'm a Lagosian. So I do Ashwa AB now. I do all these things. I mean, once a year, but I do them. I like them. We can both enjoy life and still invest. It's not mutually exclusive. That's one of the things I like about Alibaba. So it's like he had enough wealth to build the back end, but also to enjoy the front end. You know, so it's not either or. It's not exaggerated. So Alibaba, we spent a good amount of time talking about the way that he has invested in real estate on the back end.
Great.
Yeah.
Where was your first property?
Lekki, actually. No, wait. Ikorodu, actually. Oh. So, because from the beginning, so when we got small money, myself and my co-founder, Adebola, we bought, for the company at the time, we bought a block of flats in Ikorodu. Somebody was being a block of flats. So I think we're 22 or so there. Mm. So we made some money, so we bought a block of flats. So we invested the money there. Then we got some money when I was 24, and we both bought a building each in Lekki, you know. So we stopped there. But that was, so those two. But the Ikorodu one didn't feel real, because it took a long time for them to finish the developments.
Okay.
Do you understand? So in my mind, the Lekki one was the real one because that was the one that we bought and we saw.
Yes.
And so that's when I bought our first property in Lagos. Yeah.
22.
20, yeah.
What did you do to, because the thing is, I talk to the younger generation a lot and they are all fascinated. Most of them are fascinated by the idea of, you know, buying things, but they don't really know the roadmap towards getting to that point where you can achieve things.
Yeah.
Now at 22, a lot of 22-year-olds now is all about vibes and inshallah.
I'm telling you, it scares me. It really scares me.
So, I mean,
how
did you...
Excuse me, let me tell you, it scares me because you see, life has become more expensive. It's not just the economy that is down. The economy is down, cost of living is up, and perception is now up. So many young people cannot take downfall anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't blame them because there's now Uber and InDrive and Bolt. But they can't afford that Uber constantly. But because there's now this option is now less attractive. Yeah. People can't just live in Agbado Ijaiye. You know, they have to rent this one room
boy squatter or
in where they can't afford. I'm not judging them. I understand social pressure is a very powerful thing, but it's a problem. People have to buy iPhones. iPhones and all these phones are one of the biggest scourges on people's finances. Because you have to take good pictures for Instagram, and you have to be able to take good videos, and they release new models every 3 years. So people's monies are tied down in constant running costs. Constant capex. OPEX. Constant running costs. So they don't have free cash. I always tell young people, do not buy, and this is an advice that Ike Osakio Dua, the host, gave me when I was 19, saying, never buy a thing that if you lose it, you cannot quickly replace it.
Okay.
Never buy a thing that if you lose it, you cannot quickly replace it, that you cannot find the money. That means you cannot afford it. Okay. So I learned that many years ago. So people, and one of the things I always say is that every time I have to do a new purchase, it's like when I bought, after 10 years, when I bought my car last year, I just walked into a car shop and bought it. I didn't have to gather money together. You have to spend in a way that when you are ready to lift to the next level, it is easy. You just lift. That's how to manage your finances, you know. So, first of all, there's a lot of expenses that are draining young people's pockets. It takes so much character to be able to say, I can't afford it now. So, I worry about that. And I think that they need to, I understand the pressure of social media. But you see, I always tell that these Philistines you see today, you will see them no more. So do not make a decision for your life based on followers that will not be relevant to your life in 5 years. So it's just a perspective shift. Just bear it. Bear it for 5 years. Bear it for 10 years. Don't worry, even if they laugh at you today, they will not laugh at you in 5 years. That's a perspective shift. So from when I read The Richest Man in Babylon when I was 17. So I've been saving at least 10%. I pay my tithes and I save 10% for investments.
You've been doing this for?
From when I was 18, 17.
Okay.
You know, and I say it's not the amount that matters. It's the discipline that matters. It's not the amount. It can be any. And then people say to me, I can't afford, look at all my expenses. I cannot afford this. I'm like, that's not true, because I was 17 and I was living in Akpako Aguda and I could save. You know, you want to come out of poverty. There's a lot of things that cause poverty, but one of the ways to come out of poverty is to have investments. If you eat everything that comes to you, you cannot have enough to grow. You cannot be waiting on time and chance. You know, you can't be waiting on time and chance, because time and chance by its very nature is unpredictable.
Very true.
So I learned as a child to save 10%. I never played with it till today. Till today. Standing order, once money enters my account, 10% is out. Till today. Then after a while, I started learning to save big amounts. But that 10% is the minimum. I learned it reading The Richest Man in Babylon, changed my perspective about wealth building. So I knew in a very young age that money, and then because I started working at 15, like I said, I saw many people who were successful. I saw them fail. Big celebrities. Let me tell you, one of the things that makes me scared, you know, I'm like, look, don't make your decision based on an influencer. In 10 years, you find that person was broke. And I'm like, I'm no shade to the influence. I'm just telling you, I'm trying to tell you that don't do it. Don't do it. Because there are people who, when I was younger, I thought, you know, you see somebody living in a house, maybe they even named the street after the person.
Yeah.
In 5 years later, the person is having an issue with their landlord. Nah. I thought you were the owner of the building. I learned this very young. I've interviewed over 1,000 people in my life. I've seen big people. Suddenly they come and evacuate, and I realize that, oh, the person was renting or something, or got it at a concert, you know, some kind of thing. So very in my life, I'm very lucky that I started learning very early. I learned very early in my life that money can finish. I don't think, I need to say it, it sounds simple, but people don't hear money can finish. And the only way that you don't get stuck in that is for the money to be multiplying itself. The money should be multiplying. The money should be in a place where it's not losing value. And so, very early I learned, very early. So from the beginning, and again, it's not even the specific investment, it's the mindset. And so by the time I was 22, I started researching how to invest money, and people were not forthcoming. And that's why I'm sharing some things I would not even normally share.
Okay.
Because I don't want it to be as if you are boasting, you are showing off all of this thing, but people need to learn it. So it wasn't easy for people to give me information. First of all, Nigeria is a strange economic place. One of my friends, Nigeria is not a real place. So the economy is not a normal economy. There's a lot of funny money going around this economy. And so people cannot tell you what they did because it cannot be told. So I learned very well. I asked people, how do you do this? People were not giving me real advice. And I would see an investment, I'd be like, but this is just 7%. Like, you know, what am I doing with 7%? So I had to learn by myself. I had to make mistakes. I had to just learn. I'm just like, okay, at least real estate, I understand. You know? So that's why real estate was one of the first things I did. I'm like, so there was one time I was looking for what to do with money. I'm just like, before I will spend this money, let me just go and buy this property. Do you understand? Okay. So later on, I learned to diversify my investments. But I even don't diversify wildly. All my investments are in three major buckets. You know, I invest in my business. I invest in my business. I invest in real estate. I invest in equity. You know, and I've been doing that since I was, say, 30, 31, when I now began to learn more about how money works in the world. So, but in the beginning, I didn't have any information. So I just did what was easiest to me. Yeah. And so it's just interesting to see how I bought one land like that. And I was just asking, generally, I've not done anything on the land. I said, the value, I'm like, this is amazing. Of course, the fact that Nigeria's economy is naira denominated can be a problem.
Yeah.
But if I want to build a school now, this is a fantastic location to build the school. And then everybody else has built around me. So they've increased the value of the property. And this is a property I bought again in my 20s. Just money. I'm like,
so you maximized your 20s.
Yes, I maximized my 20s. My 20s, I was not playing because I was afraid of poverty. I know I grew up in Bakwagudi. I grew up by the canal. I've told people when I was in secondary school, my father lost his job at some point, and I used to be brought in front of the assembly and beaten because I couldn't pay school fees. So So in 20s, I was running from poverty. I'm just like, poverty, me and you are not going to see.
So this was a personal decision.
A personal decision.
I wanted to ask, maybe your family, your background, you had people talking to you, or something was chasing you.
Poverty was chasing me. And I wanted to create a long distance. A long distance between me and poverty, so it will never catch up. But now that I remember, my mother.
Okay.
So when we moved to Ikorodu was because my mother wrestled my father to the ground, not physically, to buy a house. So I saw that conversation. She said, let us do this. And my father respected my mother a lot. So whenever she said something, he believed, even if his instincts were against it. So I saw my mother. My mother was a saver, you know, a cost effectiver, and an investor. My mother at some point was running two businesses, and she always was thinking about the future. Mm-hmm. Always was thinking about it. So actually, yes, my mother is a key driver. I learned very early. To start through my mother to start saving. And I also remember the psychological effect when we moved to our own house. And it wasn't even, we had finished building, I didn't even paint it, but it was our house. You know, it was far away in Odogunyo, Ikorodu. So when you get to Ikorodu, you'll be going. Then you'll be going. Then you'll be going. Before you get to Odogunyo. But even till now, I like visiting it because it's my home. Oh. I go every now and again, at least once a year. I just want to see the building of my youth. There was a sense of pride when we moved to our own house. So I remember that freedom. I remember that peace. And I learned that. So I think my mother was my very first influence. Now that I think of it, thank you for reminding me of that. And then the richest man in Babylon, just then watching people in my career who had and then didn't have, who I thought had and turned out they didn't have, was another major driver.
Okay, so now to the youth, what would you advise? Now, I want you to give me like 2-3 different books. You've mentioned Richest Man in Babylon.
Right, right.
Not just the youth. We have a lot of people watching who may never, they've never come across these things you've mentioned. They've never known. So I think this is a very good conversation, an eye-opener. Maybe 3 books and what they can do right now. It's never too late to make a good decision.
Yeah. 3 books about money. That's very interesting. So I would recommend Richest Man in Babylon. It's a simple parable. I would recommend 7 Habits of Highly Effective People.
Yes.
I only recommend it for anything. It tells you to put first things first, begin with the end in mind. Those are foundational principles for life.
Life.
And I recommend buying every book that Warren Buffett has written. Warren Buffett was at the time one of the richest men in the world.
Yeah.
I think he's 34th now. And Warren Buffett taught me that investing is actually simple. You know, a lot of my investments, I don't touch them. So I just had them. I just buy them or do it and leave it. You know, people like hustling. Oh, let me move my dollar. Dollar's about to go up. It's about to go down. It's about to go left. It's about to go right. Oh, let me move from crypto to part two. To part two. I just like, all this hustle. Then you end up losing money. You spent. All this hustle, you end up losing money. No, I learned. It was from Warren Buffett. I learned just enough diversification. So carefully. So he has a principle. He says, think that there are 20 things you could spend money on that you could invest in. And choose the top three. So write down the 20 and ask yourself, what are the top three that are the best that would give me a higher return? And since in doing that, it's good to look at what has historically given people returns and then make a decision from there. You know, so choose, don't put all your eggs in one basket, but don't have many baskets.
Hey.
Do you understand? Have your eggs in 3 to 5 baskets and learn about those baskets. I've learned one of my biggest investments is in my companies. So I don't do Red Media Africa, the group, you know, Statecraft, Winergy. I don't do one. Since I resigned as CEO in 2016, I finally left in 2017. I don't do any work there. But every month, I don't want to call amounts that we'll not be discussing with, you know, relevant authorities. But every month, every year, dividends are coming. Yes, because I built structure for the business and all of those things. So when I heard from her, before I said it, number one was going to be my business, I had the CFO, Ifeoma Okonkwo. She's now the VP of Finance at Maven Records. You know, she was at the birthday. One of the best gifts that God ever gave to me. Mm. She says, sir, the best investment you can have is in the primary business that you have. Because that is the thing that will give you multiples of return. A business can take, if you put something in fixed deposit, it can give you 10%. If you put something in a business that makes money, it can give you 100%.
Yeah.
So she told me it was a shift in my thinking. Because then I was looking, okay, that's what I was doing. Okay, how do I invest? What do I invest? Is there any bond? You know, no, she didn't say, sir, the primary business. So one, that's my, it was from Warren Buffett I learned. Then it was from her, I decided to choose my primary business as my first investment. Also to learn that it is easier to succeed in a thing that you know and understand. And media is what I know and understand. So I invested in media businesses. Then from Warren Buffett, I learned the power of compounding, which is that if you put money in a strong stock exchange market, it could be Japan, it could be China, it could be the Joburg Stock Exchange, it could be, but some countries have very difficult rules about buying shares in the economy. It could be America. If you can buy and just leave the money, you know, buy simple shares, buy the S&P 100, which is what you always, the Standard & Poor's Index 100, and just don't do anything. Just don't touch it. What I saw after 5 years, during COVID, there was one of the companies I invested in, Danaha. So I went to the stock exchange, I looked, used this thing, I looked at companies that historically made multiples of revenue. And it says, forget, because by the time a Tesla stock becomes popular, it's already too highly priced. So those that bought Tesla stock, when it was not highly priced, the visionaries, they are the ones that often get the biggest payout.
Hmm.
So I learned that, says, forget all those shine companies. Go to the company people are paying. Go to Walmart. You know, go to all those companies that people are not shining, that suddenly they will just make a big leap. So I just woke up one day in December and looked at my stock. Hey, what I saw from Danaha. I went to run mad. The same thing happened. There was this guy, Rice Vest. I'm calling names, even though they are brand names, and even though she paid me. But I just put, so my friend in Yaboyeji, who founded Andela and Flutterwave, he invested in Rice Vest. So he told me early. So I trusted his judgments. And I did a mix of equity, all of that with Rice Vest, my dear sister, and did nothing and forgot about it. Then woke up one morning, and this was in dollars. The money I thought there was a problem. So now I went and I began to look and I said, okay, that's what happened. The spread of investments I made led to multiples of return because I spread it in a particular way. But what I did was I learned from Warren Buffett to just leave the money there, find a good investment. So if, for instance, you bought stock in Piggyvest when Piggyvest started, you don't need to do anything. If, for instance, you were one of the angel investors in Iroko TV, you don't have to do anything. Flutter wave. You know those companies. You need to look for those investments that don't require too much work. Do you understand? And you have to take your time. So I learned it later in my life, taking time to research them. Yeah. And so I learned from Warren Buffett. That's why I say, Warren Buffett has changed my life. He also taught me a simple life. Just a simple life. Just all these things people do, activity, busy. Mm-mm. Life has fundamentals and they don't change. You sow in the ground, you reap. You eat, you go to the toilet. It's not nothing, even it has been the same as it was before. So it is today.
So it will be.
We've been using toilet the same way for 2,000 years, despite the innovations in iPhones. We've been eating with a fork and knife for 4,000 years. So fundamentals. So those three books, anything Warren Buffett has written, any book he recommends on wealth, I read. Now, advice to young people is save 10% of your income. Save it. This, it's not about the 10%. You can be earning 50,000. My first salary was 25,000. Of course, 25,000 in 2002 is not the same as 25,000 now, but even there it was small money. So I was saving 5,000. No, 2,500. See, it's not about the money, it's about the discipline. Because when 1 million naira comes, when $1 million comes, you know, I paid one tithe. I was like, Father, can we negotiate this? I'm just like, you know, because let me tell you, the more income you earn, let me tell you, for Father, you know, I've been paying my tithe for a long time. Can we do it differently with this one? But it didn't shake me because I've been used to paying 10%. So learn the discipline of saving. Then research investments. You know, now, it's better for your money to be getting minimum than to be getting nothing.
Nothing. So that's
until
true.
Until you learn good investment practices, and some of it requires a little bit of risk, and do the one that you know. I tell one of a friend of mine, I'm like, look, so I'm showing him some of your videos. I'm like, look, just buy property. Say this is your first big money. Do instrumental payments from a trusted party. Do you understand? Do all of those things. Because you don't understand money yet. So do something that is easy to track. You have your C of O. If you get broke, you can sell it to somebody. I don't know whether this is right to say in public, but hedge against this economy. So invest in dollars in Nigeria. So you can invest, if you are so worried about not being patriotic, invest in dollars in Nigeria. And there are a lot of dollar-based investments, you know. So those three foundations, I think, can help any young person. 10%, put it in something so that the money doesn't lose value. If possible, put it in a dollar-earning investment. That also strengthens the economy, as long as the money is domiciled within this market. And then invest in what you understand. As you know more, you will do more. But don't let people, and don't do pyramid scheme. I don't understand what's wrong with people. I just heard, because I don't read the news, I just heard that there's one pyramid scheme that just burst.
Yeah.
I'm just like, But I now realize that people forget easily. So I have never, and you know what? I tell people,
during MMM, I know MMM was viral.
I don't understand, but MMM was viral. But I don't know. People like quick money too much. Is this your time thing? You know, and people always looking for secrets.
Yes.
Even though the Bible says all secret things belong to God. You know, people are looking for, they always think, it's like when I tell people this, they'll be like, okay, Baba, you know what? Tell us the truth. Tell us what thing you do. Do you understand? So I'm just like, it's not you. You're not my target audience. There's a young person like me, when I read Richest Man in Babylon, who is listening to this. Ignore the noise, you know. Follow these things. Now, I tell people, I say, I don't understand crypto. I have no issues with crypto. I don't have any issues with artificial intelligence. I don't have any issues, but I don't understand it. But I've actually invested in crypto by a third party. So, you know, when you do these investments and they help you diversify. So I'm like, that's fine. You understand it. And you've made me a minimum guarantee. If you like, go and invest in bubble gum. But that's part of what I'm saying. I have that discipline. And I've lost out on things and I'm comfortable losing out on them. Do you understand? Because that's it. You have to be comfortable. I learned that from Dangote. Dangote says he never invests in a business he doesn't understand.
Yeah.
Because when things go south, so these pyramid schemes, you understand where the money is coming. So nothing comes from nothing, mostly.
Yeah.
So what is the thing that is, where are they making the money from? How are they doing it? If you don't understand it,
Don't leave it.
Now they will say, somebody, a friend you know, did they learn, how many of such stories have you heard? Dead people have risen again. Does that mean that you go and choke yourself with knife? Mm. So do not use singular stories to extrapolate average data. Do you understand?
Yes.
So until you've heard enough people that it has happened for, that you can verify, not somebody posting on TikTok. You know, so they're just basic principles. That doesn't mean you don't take risk. No, but you take risk that you understand. That you know the
risk.
Yes, that you know the downside. So when I take risk, I write it off my holdings. Mm. When I take a risk, I remove it. I say, okay, if I lose this money, that's fine because I know it's a risk. So I never take a risk that it will crash me. I never bet the company. I never bet my whole life on anything. These are basic principles. They're not even complex. Many people try to deal complex financial instruments unless you understand them or you trust the person deeply. Don't do it. Yeah.
This is Key to Keys 101.
It's the very people are always looking for the basics of life. And, you know, I've practiced it in my own life. Because when you're younger, you know, when I started doing, when I started building companies, I didn't have any model in my industry for succession planning.
Yeah.
So I thought maybe it's not possible in Nigeria. So I did what I do. I went and researched. I went and read books. I went and talked to people. And I realized, Nigeria is a low trust society. So that's why it's difficult for people to trust people that are not their family. So I learned, and I said, but it's not that it's not possible. So what I can do is I can create systems. I can manage some risk. But the fundamental, I didn't do any great thing. I didn't go to Harvard to learn it. You know, I didn't have to do any big thing.
Yeah.
I'm a born made in Nigeria product. I went to schools, primary school in Nigeria, secondary school in Nigeria, university in Nigeria, master's degree in Nigeria. I didn't leave the country until I was 25. And how did I leave the country? The money that I used to leave the country for the first time was my father's money after he had died. So that's why I say my father is a man, a real man, because when my father passed, I realized he had done so many investments. He had bought, there was an investment thing in First Bank that he had done that had gained value. There was an investment thing with, you know, he had done all these things. He had done life insurance on his life for us.
Wow.
So we didn't suffer when my father passed. We were not very wealthy when my father was alive. So actually now that I'm thinking of it, maybe my father was even part of this inspiration because there was not a lot of money when he was alive. But we didn't know that he was saving. He took insurance on his life. He did insurance for me. So when he died, I got all that money. So sometimes we're always looking for complex things instead of us to do the one way we know. You know, we're just waiting for someone to tell us something, one big thing. So I decided to use my own life to understand. And I'm just like, many of the things you hear are lies. People are trying to use you to make money. Mm-hmm. Use your own intelligence. And I'm talking about big intelligence. Basic intelligence. The energy you're using to look for what is not missing. Use it to maximize what is existing. Mm. And I tell people, I've never, ever, 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 in this country, they say you need a godfather. I tell them, the first time I entered Aso Rock, what I did was write a letter to the president. You know, I've never had, I don't come from a wealthy family. I've never done anything.
I think it's mindset.
It's mindset. I learned very early that it was mindset, very early. So, the world can be a confusing place. So then you see people talking, you think that you don't know. You know, not only you waka come, or you know follow. Just that people can confuse you. You feel confused. Like, hey, God. Hey, what am I going to do? I'm telling you, you're panicking. What am I going to do with this money? What am I going to do with my life? Ignore them. Anytime anybody makes anything complex for you, run away from the person. They're most likely trying to deceive you. Most likely, not all the time, but most likely. It's like, one of my friends gave me very big advice when I started my business. Say, if any CFO you have that cannot give you your accounts in a way you can understand, let that person go. If you say, I don't like Excel, they should put it on Word. Say, I don't like Word, they should put it on PowerPoint. It's your business. How can somebody be giving you accounts that you cannot understand? So I learned a long time ago, basic, simple things. I didn't need to go anywhere and learn them. Then you'll be learning, but the one knowledge you have, use it. Don't, the world is full of people. People are wicked, though. They will say things on social media. You'll be like, but this thing is a lie now. But it's a lie. Why we, like one of my pastors says, Ebedamina, why wickedest thou them? So let me tell you, don't let anybody gaslight you. common sense can be good enough many times. Don't do a thing you don't understand. I think that can be a very useful trick for life. Don't do a thing you can't understand. Mm. Yeah.
Let's talk about investing in your company.
Right, right.
What did you do? Is it the people you got? Because a lot of people are, you know, starting companies and one of the major issues is getting the right people.
Yeah.
So in terms of investing in your company, what did you do to get
That's
your company?
Good question.
You say?
That's a very good question. I think one of the biggest decisions I ever made, yes, mostly it's people decisions.
Okay.
Basically, it was my co-founder, Adebola Williams. It just made a difference because my skill is I'm a creative person. I'm not a salesperson. I'm not a marketing person. I'm a shy person. I'm an extroverted person. So I think first thing I did was my first people decision was to get a partner who filled in the gaps. And even now, this is our April 27 event, my COO who just joined, I'm just like the things she's doing, the people, sometimes, you know, today we're doing our weekly OKR where I score my reports. And she saw achieved. And she's like, but I made mistakes. Like I said, but the things you achieved blew my mind. Because I'm an introvert, I don't like talking to people. So anybody that can even save me from that. So Adebola was one of the best decisions I ever made in my life. Best decisions. I mean, we didn't even do it deliberately. We're just friends and we stumbled into business. So, and he's my equal partner. But that decision helped me grow fast. Helped me grow fast. So the other thing is just to be able to be, I'm trying to say it in a way that people can practicalize, but to be consistent in the right direction. So I've only done, I don't have, there's no secrets to my success like that. Like, it's this red media. I kept doing it and kept improving on it. So I tell people that one of the big breaks we got, the first time we made big money was High TV, Tony Sabaya, who is now, I think, the chief of staff to the president. The future was, we have been doing it for 4 years. We had no sponsorship. It was people that were dashing us money. Shalakwe Agagwa, Adesuwa Onyanokwe, Ali Baba gave us 100,000 for the first edition, I think. And people that were giving us money, we didn't have sponsors, but we knew that this thing will blow. And so the first time we got 10 million in 2010, sponsorship for High TV, it was this same vision. Emilia, who was our director of marketing at the time, went to him, I sold the vision, we got 10 million. That's what we used to get our first office and hired our first staff. You know, so there was no magic to it. I mean, there are people that have magic, I don't know, but I'm telling you my own. There's no magic to it. So I've learned the value of consistency. It's like we're doing with Today Live now. And I'm amazed. The media partners are coming quickly. People are signing up fast. Do you understand? People are difficult to get. And I told my COO, I said, it is the compounding effect. I spent 5 years focusing on only this show. I said no to a lot of things. Like my PA, he was following me meeting. She's like, this is the busiest she has been because I've been saying no to speaking and giving an interview for about 4 years. I'm like, I'm building a show. I'm somebody say, come, let us go and meet this MD. I'm like, if the MD wants to sponsor the show, they should come and sponsor the show. Why am I going to beg them? So by the time I lifted up, it was very easy.
Easy.
Many other people, I've never asked them for anything before. You know, the biggest guest in the country, biggest, Moses Bliss has never done an interview that anybody has seen. But I've never, it's just my work. So things compound. People you think are not paying attention. I tell them, I've shared this story, I'm not comfortable sharing it. I told the first time I went to Asoro, the first time I worked on the presidential campaign, I was driving on the road when Oronto Douglas, special assistant to Goodluck Jonathan, called me. My name is Oronto. I was in front. I just passed where Maryland Mall was. I don't think they had created Maryland Mall at the time. And got a call and said, hi, my name is Trina. Is this Trina? I got your number from Peace Anyamu Sigwe. The president would like to meet you too, or something like that.
What did you do at that
point? First, I packed. First. Then thought it was a scam. Now. You know, I'm telling you, this is my life. In this country, this same Nigeria. And the people that will believe me, the ones that will not believe me, it's okay. But the ones that will believe me, their lives will be sweet. So the second thing I learned is consistency in the work that I am doing. Now, it's wise to choose good work. Because I'm like, I said something on the television, I'm like, I'm even wrong. I said, if you are working as a bricklayer, I'm like, no, but even as a bricklayer, If you do your work well and you're consistently improving, you become the head of bricklaying.
Yes.
Then somebody calls you to come and manage your construction. Mm-hmm. You know, you become, so the thing you are doing, be consistently improving. That's the second thing that I learned about my business. Now, Ellie, I've learned not to compromise on good stuff. Mm. And you see, people complain about Gen Z in the workplace, but 80% of my staff are Gen Z. Mm. 80%. My COO has 3 kids. So she wonder she go there for call. She's like, leave me alone. Because she came from the US. You know, and I'm like, and I'll pause. So we finish the meeting, we keep it going. So all those things, oh, mothers cannot do this work, women cannot do this work. I've never understood that. My staff, 80% are Gen Z. My PA is Gen Z. She's been with me for how many years now? All my staff are Gen Z. But you see, when we are recruiting, I spend time recruiting. Hmm. First and foremost, we do several interviews. Then we do a test. And we pay you for the test. So we don't do, I work well on that project. Let us see you. I'm proficient in X. Let's see it. So we pay.
Oh my God.
We pay you for the, so you don't think that I'm trying to use you. We pay you for the test. Actually, my PA is doing her master's degree exam at the moment. So I have a standing PA. She's on her test. You know, so I take human resource very seriously because you can have peace of mind if you have the right people.
Yeah.
And many of us are very lazy when it comes to interview. Just give somebody the job. No. You take your time. You interview them. Then you take care of them. You know, don't overdo it. Because even human beings don't like when you're overdoing things. But you take care of them. You know, so I learned to make my life easier, to be able to do the things I can do. You know, to be able to, one of the other, my friend, somebody fixed me on a PDF patch, my friend, and he's my best friend. And I didn't even have to talk to the friend. That's the value of having a good staff. You know, so now I've learned the value, and I've always had good people. That's why they are the leaders in the industry. But now I've learned to even be more deliberate. So one was getting the right partner, which was a human resource decision. Two is getting consistent in the work that I'm doing. I cannot pretend to you that this, maybe other people have other secrets, but this has been mine.
This has worked for you.
This has worked for me. And if people like where I am in life and where I am going, then at least they can try it. True. What's the worst that can happen?
Okay, your show.
Yeah.
Please, can you elaborate?
Thank you, yes. So, April 27, mm-hmm. this Sunday, the Palms, Lekki, Lagos, is an amazing, talking about real estate, is an amazing venue. At the back of the Palms. I couldn't believe it when I went there.
Really?
I think it's a 10,000-seater venue. They've done concerts there and all kinds of things. And massive venues. I think it's where Game used to be. I know Game was on a massive amount of land.
Yes.
So they've converted it into a fantastic venue. You know, fantastic backstage, amazing parking space, you know, lush red carpet area. So that's where we are doing our event. 27th of May from 2 p.m.
Okay.
People can get tickets on event.withchude.com.
Okay.
Event, E-V-E-N-T. .withchude.com event.withchude.com. And if they forget that, you can go on my handle at Chudeiti and click on my bio and get the link. Okay. It's going to be a life-changing day. We're having these people share their life stories. They're sharing life stories that they've never shared before. Things they never said, things that would inspire. Because you know what the show is about. The show inspired. You know how you say you're getting goosebumps? I get that often in my set. People are going to feel that live. People are going to get rema. You know, in an atmosphere of freedom, and it's a show, it's a concert. So there's music, there's magic. So we're making it. When you leave that evening, you feel like you just ate a full meal. You know, you feel.
I will be there.
I look forward to you being there. So you feel joyful. And so it will change people's lives. Look, I know it. All that, if I say, it's like when I'm doing this interview, it's like how I talked to you and I said, feeling goosebumps. I'm like, that's what we are going to do there on that day, live. So you'll be seeing. And then you go to meet your favorite celebrity. Tell me, where else will you meet these people I've called life? Funke, Chimamanda, you know, Bovi, Fowles, Pastor Jerry Eze, Ruth Kadiri, who is the queen of YouTube.
Yes.
Without her community, Tenny Makanaki, Hawalawa, Vicky James, Taoma, Kiki, Moses Bliss, you know, just, it's, I'm so honored that these people trust me to tell their stories with me. Some of them have not done interviews before. Some of them, this is the first time I'm interviewing them. So come, because it's going to change your life. Come because you love these people and you want to meet them, you know. But that day, nothing like this has ever been done before in this country. Yes. Usually you go for it outside of Nigeria. We're creating a magical, life-changing experience on Sunday, the 27th of April.
beautiful.
Yeah.
I'll be there.
And I'm looking forward to
watching
it.
This. Yes. Make sure you're there.
Then you get to see confidence there.
Yeah. Yes. All right. Finally, yes. To our younger generation and to people watching, if they want to invest in real estate, where do they branch into? I mean, there's so, like when Alibaba came around, he spoke about so many avenues.
Yeah.
But for you, what do you think?
So I don't want to give advice because even I am still an amateur. But I'm not saying this because you are here. They should watch your videos. The reason that I watched your videos and made a buying decision.
You showed me your playlist.
I showed you my I showed you my playlist and you could see I've saved your videos. Yes. It's not a joke. I don't tell big lies. I can lie, oh, you are looking nice and you're not looking nice. But I cannot tell you a lie about I watched your videos and I met you. That's the first time I met 4 years ago.
Yes.
You know, and you took me around and we looked at property. I'd been watching your videos for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And I trusted you enough to contact you.
Yes.
They went and did it. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the best decisions I ever made. So this 2025 is not like 2005. Now information is easier to get.
Exactly.
But the problem is that useless information is also easier to get. So I'm saying maybe you're not in Nigeria. Okay, confidence is based in Nigeria. So if you're in the US, find a trusted person to guide you. Do you understand? Gather your information. Do your research. It's your money. It's your life. Then after that, then follow who no road. Don't follow who say he no road. Follow who no road. That's literally. So this is easy for your audience because I trust you.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've seen your content. You know this business. You know it. You know it. You know the work. So there's no need for me to be speaking English to them, you know. So if you want to follow, do your research. YouTube, social media has made it easy for people to do the research for you. So you just aggregate.
Mm-hmm.
Spend some time. Don't rush. So in the interim, put the money in fixed deposits. Put the money in bonds, where bonds are longer time frame. Put money in fixed deposits. Put the money in things that have fixed income things. Put it. Do your research. Then make a decision. Then go. That's it.
Hmm. Wow, this has been a beautiful episode.
I'm glad.
Soul searching. After watching this, you just want to take cold water, go to your bathroom, lock the door. And then study twice. Ask yourself deep personal questions.
Yeah.
Because these are the things we don't really get to do. We're on the right path. And we're just going with the flow, the energy, and we can get lost in that motion.
Oh, yes.
So it's important that we take that time out. You say you wake up and you don't touch your phone.
Yeah, to 12.
That does not happen.
Yes, yes.
90% of... 99%.
The phone is by the bed now. Once they roll in the morning, just pick it up and hear what other people are saying about their lives.
You know?
Before hearing what you think about your own life.
Wow.
Try. I say people, okay, can't do to 12, do to 8. You know, you can't do till 12, do till 9. Small, small. We didn't get here like this. We started small. And we experimented, yeah.
Wow.
Thank you.
This has been amazing. We would look forward to seeing you on the 27th. We'll look forward to having you on this
again.
Because, look, not just people watching.
Yeah.
We learned a whole lot. These are things that people pay for and we're getting it free. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
And these are things they say Africans don't like to read.
Mm.
You know, you've read so much and you've shared that knowledge on a platter of gold.
Yeah, I'm glad to
be here. Saying thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for sharing deeply. And this is Key to Keys. My name is Confidence and I'll see you in our next episode. Thank you.